The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
B-Pod Studios.
Hi, this is Kevin Owens, and you're listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley. Great name, Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast. So what does that mean? You guys aren't allowed to discuss if anything happens outside the ropes? What if somebody gets clotheslined over the top rope? Do you guys cover the Royal Rumble? These are questions I need answered. Anyway, you're listening to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with two geniuses who came up with this name.
It is night one of WrestleMania, your WrestleMania recap. Mike Riley, this felt like an indie show, and I mean that in the best possible way. If you've ever sat in the first, say, five rows of a wrestling show, you understand that. And if you haven't, now you understand that. And WrestleMania, to me, night one was really good. It started a little slow, but then it kind of built up to the end. And that's kind of where I want to lead things off here. The Undertaker buries AJ Styles in a boneyard match, which is really a graveyard match, but they don't want to say grave because of the situation that we are in the company. And it reminded me of the moment from the Beyond the Mat movie where Vince McMahon looks into the camera and says, "We make movies."
Some of our success stories. A certain amount of respect comes with that. But hopefully that simply will only be used as an entree to encourage someone's interest to then find out what we're really about. We make movies.
And this Undertaker AJ Styles match was about as much of a movie as anything that I've seen since the Bray Wyatt Matt Hardy movie, the Matt Hardy Jeff Hardy Ultimate Deletion movie. This had Jeremy Borash written all over it. And I'm sure Bruce and Vince were very hands-on with how this thing was produced. It had drama. It had suspense. It had a feel-good moment of the American Badass Undertaker returning and being that. And the trash-talking was excellent. And realistically, AJ Styles not being in a squared circle for a WrestleMania match is wrong, but they made the best of the situation that they have with the Undertaker, and I think that this helped everybody that was involved. AJ Styles shouldn't be losing to Undertaker in a squared circle, but in a graveyard boneyard match, perfectly fine. This was entertaining. Bravo to everybody who participated. Mike Riley, go.
Yeah, it's probably the best worst movie I've ever seen in my life, the Undertaker AJ Styles one. Now, I was very high in it going into it, but, you know, I just, again, the gimmick of the Undertaker, cemetery, graveyard. The entrance was really great with AJ Styles, that old school hearse, the old Undertaker theme as well. You just thought, oh, wow, Taker's going to come out of the casket there in the hearse. That would be awesome. But then, of course, AJ Styles like, okay, now that's hysterical. That was really funny. And, you know, he just came right out with the American Badass theme, as you alluded to there, on the motorcycle, which was really cool. Just, again, Hollywood wannabe, again, not a match here that you do see in front of an arena, but they did what they had to do. And the fact that we had seven other matches in the arena in front of an empty crowd, you know, I think that's probably what we're going to see tomorrow night, too. That I don't think that'll be the closing match, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, but similar to what we had tonight there in that Firefly Funhouse, whatever the heck it's going to be. But that is going to set the tone there for an offsite match. But Undertaker, overall, he is 25-2 at WrestleMania. We know that. He buried AJ Styles. I think these two will be fighting again down the line, whether it be at SummerSlam or WrestleMania next year, because I think they both enjoy working with each other.
Yeah, it seemed like, at least from the trash talking, that there seemed to be a respect. And I felt over the years that Undertaker has had a lot of respect for those great in-ring workers. He has... It wouldn't shock me if we found out, and maybe it's been out there somewhere, that he wanted to work with AJ Styles. We know that he wanted to work with Ric Flair in the past. He wanted to work with CM Punk. There are people that Undertaker wants to work with. His last match, I think he requested Roman Reigns, and I think Vince knew that Roman was going to be the next guy and thought that was going to cement him, and Undertaker was more than on board with losing to Roman Reigns, as Undertaker was on board with losing to Brock Lesnar, we think.
Right.
So Undertaker has a good eye for it. They did air something in the middle of WrestleMania about there being an Undertaker special called The Undertaker's Last Ride.
That was awesome.
And so it leads me to think that they're going to do something similar to like Ric Flair's retirement. In that they're going to be like, this is the Undertaker's legitimate last go around. So you better come see him live, or you better come see him at the, hey, look, they could position this where his last match is at SummerSlam. Like, I don't think that's the case, but there's the potential for it. Cause SummerSlam's our hype for SummerSlam is being the next like in-person gathering for a lot of people. Like we're building this up ourselves.
Yeah,
and we're kind of hoping for it, but I thought the little movie that they did was good, and there's some Matt Hardy in it, there's some Jeremy Borash in it, there's some Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon in it. You know, I think if they did Undertaker matches like this going forward, I think there's probably an audience for it.
Yeah,
but I think the one thing that we need to avoid is Undertaker, Triple H, 30 minutes in Saudi Arabia. Right. That doesn't do anybody any good.
Undertaker, Goldberg in Saudi Arabia, too. Things like that.
And part of that was Goldberg got concussed early.
It wasn't the right matchup. Yeah, this one here, you can edit out, do some things, build up his character, make him look scary. I mean, even they had music going underneath some specific scenes there. It's like, oh, yeah, this is a real movie feel to it. But, you know, it just, to your point of him potentially having his last match at SummerSlam with the new documentary coming out here this weekend, that could be the beginning of the last ride for the Taker here. And a couple of years ago when he did fight John Cena in New Orleans at WrestleMania 34, he did come out with the Dead Man gimmick, of course, a year after losing to Roman Reigns. A lot of speculation on that one that he would be coming out with the Mark Calloway motorbiker American Badass theme, which he kind of was tonight. So maybe this is his way of going out how he wants to go out instead of the Dead Man gimmick of the old-fashioned Western mortician that we saw for a good 95% of his career. And that's what he will always be known as. So, but overall, they did what they had to do, and I was okay. I was more than happy with the finish, and the production was interesting, but again, just to see my favorite wrestler of all time right there, to have that moment in WrestleMania, I'm more on board with it. And for AJ Styles to do the job, good for him.
Yeah, of course. AJ's a businessman. AJ had a nice run on top, and this is, I don't want to say him giving back because it's The Undertaker, but maybe it's him giving back. And realistically, from a size point of view, like Undertaker should win over AJ Styles, even if AJ Styles is the best wrestler in the world. And, you know, to a degree, there's a point to be made that the Boneyard match might have been Vince's response to the people who say, well, Vince is too old, he's out of touch with the audience, all that stuff.
Right.
There's a case to be made there.
Sure. Absolutely.
The next thing on my agenda is, and I think this is an important thing, is Braun Strowman defeated Bill Goldberg to win the Universal Championship. This was a quick match, as most of the Goldberg matches have been. Goldberg hit a fourth spear, attempted a jackhammer. Strowman countered into a power slam. Two more power slams. Strowman then hit a running power slam. and he won the Universal Championship, squeaky clean in the middle. Mm-hmm. Right decision, keep it short, keep it aggressive, and Braun Strowman is now the Universal Champion, essentially because Roman Reigns didn't want to work.
Yep.
So good for Braun Strowman for getting his WrestleMania moment, and as the old Simpsons, when Homer Simpson was going in there against Broderick Tatum, Homer envisioned him winning by default, and I kind of think Braun Strowman won this match by default. So good for Braun Strowman.
Yeah, next man up. That's all it was. And here he is, finally a champion, a heavyweight champion.
Universal champion. Universal championship, pal.
and well-deserved, obviously. I think he should have been a champion a couple of years ago, WWE or Universal, whatever you want it for, whatever one he was going for at the time. But I think this is a good step for him to have that right there under his belt. We'll see when Roman Reigns is to return. I think the minute he does is he'll go right after Braun Strowman. But you know what? Goldberg, apparently, this was just that was in the cards for him. Just the match right there until WrestleMania. I don't know if we'll ever see him again.
We will. We'll see Goldberg again.
All right. But again, you know, you could have I you know how I feel about the title going off the Fiend and so forth in Saudi Arabia, but it is what it is there. But for Braun Strowman to win, that was great. I probably would have closed the show with this match. I probably would have closed it. I think could have done the Boneyard match before this. But again, Braun Strowman winning right there. No issue with that. I'm very happy for him. Well deserved. And you know he's going to be on TV each week with the title too. I thought Goldberg was going to win, but it is a Braun Strowman decision. So good for him.
Availability is better than anything else. There's a saying there about availability, and Braun Strowman is available. And yep. Goldberg is special appearances and important in big matches and big events because he's still an attraction. And I think that's the Bruce Pritchard attraction thing. And more people from the quote-unquote lapsed fan era will know who Bill Goldberg is and might tune in. We know that, or I think Bill Goldberg has really two matches left in him.
And two more,
One is Roman Reigns and the other is John Cena.
Yeah.
And we may not get either of them. We might get both of them. I'm not sure. But I think Goldberg in quick bursts, I think he's fine. Like Bray Wyatt transitioning from Goldberg to John Cena is fine. Bray Wyatt was never really a long-term champion. And now that they're selling his belt as merchandise, I think probably Bray Wyatt doesn't see that title ever again.
Yeah.
In the same way, like Undertaker, did he ever really need the world championship?
No. But he carried the torch, though.
Like, I would love to see Miz be the world champion again, but does he need it?
Probably not, but
He doesn't seem to need it. He's got his own TV show and all that stuff.
And I think he wants to be there.
If you're Steve Austin said this so long ago, if you don't want to be the world champion, then why are you in wrestling? But it's different now, and you have people being like, oh, it's a performance and this, that, and the other thing. And you know, it's just I try to not use the word performer, but that's what they are. Like, I like the term wrestler. Like, it just feels like, yeah, I'm a wrestler. But
and sports entertainment.
Yeah, I hate that term. It's pro wrestling to me. It always will be. But performer and wrestler, and you don't call it a belt. You call it a championship. And, you know, but except when it sells merchandise, and that's Becky Two Belts, you know. But that's kind of the way it goes. But, you know, Miz called out sick, and that's minimizing it. He was sick, so they turned a triple threat tag team championship ladder match into a singles triple threat ladder match where John Morrison retained the tag team championship against Kofi Kingston and Jimmy Uso in a match that I think TNA and Vince Russo was like, oh, wow, that's a great idea. Let's do a singles match for the tag team championships. But what I will tell you is this match was really good, and the finish was amazing. And it's a finish that I can only recall hearing about one time, and it was around 02. It was Steve Corino. And I think it was an NWA championship match where all three of them are on top of the ladder, all three of them being Morrison, Kofi, and Jimmy Uso. They all pulled down the title, but Morrison fell from the ladder and pulled the titles down with him, and that's how they decided who would win the match, and John Morrison and Miz retained the titles. I thought this match was really good. What I liked about it was the trash talk. Each spot had a chance to breathe, and I just thought this match was a thing of beauty, and that finish was just amazing. It's a finish that the WWE audience hasn't seen before. It's a finish that I've only heard of once, and I'm sure if I looked on YouTube, I could find the exact example of it from Steve Corino, but just a thing of beauty. Mike, your thoughts?
Yeah, again, the trash talk, like you said, was great. I love the quote at one point. I think it was either Jimmy or John Morrison who said it to Kofi, "I'm going to flatten your face with a pancake," like a pancake, which was hysterical. And again, just so many good maneuvers. Kofi had a Spanish fly on to John Morrison. And then right after that, Jimmy Uso had a frog splash onto him too at one point during this match. This match was 21 minutes long. And, you know, the whole turning point there was when John Morrison took Jimmy Uso off the ladder and then Morrison was, climbing up the ladder, and all of a sudden Kofi shows up and then Uso gets on the second one. Like you said, the finish there, it kind of had that feel when they lost the clipper there for the belt. They were all holding on to it. It was kind of like a fumble in football. Everyone's just going for the ball in the – you know, the loose ball there, and you don't know who has it until the referee blows the whistle and makes that signal. That's exactly how it felt to me. And it, just a dramatic effect. Everyone had their hands in the titles, and then, you know, Uso and Kofi both fighting for it, and then Morrison, as you said, takes the fall right there, has possession of the titles. To his credit, he is 40 years old. That was his first WrestleMania in 9 years. Really impressive. That is a candidate for me right now. Early candidate match of the year.
I'm curious, Mike. Like, you've said the match of the year thing a lot. Like, where? How many matches of the year do you have at the moment?
Two.
This one and
the Young Bucks and who was it? Kenny Omega.
And Hangman Page.
AEW pay per view back in February. Those are my two right there. So. This was really good. Really, we're only a quarter of the year through, but that was a damn good match. And again, stepping up there without your tag team partners, make it a triple threat. JBL referenced it over and over. This might be the greatest athletic competition we've seen in a ladder match in WrestleMania history. He's not wrong. It's up there. I mean, there are some other good ones in the past too, but these are three really good athletes and competitors. You know, here's Kofi Kingston a year ago in the main event, not the main event, but, you know, fighting for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Now, all of a sudden, he's in a singles competition for a, you know, tag team title in a ladder match, still able to do the job. Really good stuff there. It shows the kind of competitor he is, too, to be durable and so forth. But I really enjoyed that match. And good for John Morrison, again, this stage of his career, doing what he did tonight.
Wow, you fell for the JBL hype. Oh, wow. Ooh.
I was very invested in the show, James. Very invested.
No, and I think we all were. I think we were all trying to feel the emotion and like I called it an indie show to open up. Like, one of the things I did was I video chatted with a longtime friend of mine, and you know, he was supposed to come over to the house and watch WrestleMania because I wasn't going to Tampa and da 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 da.
So we had a social distance.
So we video chatted. And we enjoyed the show, and we bleep talked each other and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it kind of helped the show a little bit, but like the JBL overhype, and I thought Michael Cole did a really nice job of the spots of commentary that I heard from him, because it's such a tough job when there's no feel for the show. And I think they did the best that they could with the situation. That's why I kind of called it an indie show.
Right.
Because if you've ever sat in an indie show where there's 25 people, you hear everything. You hear trash talk. You hear them call spots. Or if you go to a WWE show and you hear John Cena yell spots at people. You hear that in the first few rows. And that's kind of the John Cena fun. And that's a fun thing. Like, if you're like a hardcore diehard fan and you really study the business and you've ever sat front row for a John Cena match and you're watching him teach. You and I went to Worcester a few years, small diversion, don't worry, I'll get back on the track of WrestleMania. But we went to a show in Worcester a few years ago, and we were right there at ringside. And John Cena is teaching Rusev how to react to the live audience. He's calling the match in the ring.
Yes.
And you can hear it clear as day. And it's okay, because the person who's, you know, six rows behind us, he doesn't hear it. He might see some movements, but John Cena is trying to teach Rusev how to feel the room. And that's such a lost art in wrestling, is calling the match in the ring. CM Punk in Chicago called the John Cena match where he won the championship in 2011 in the ring, because John said, hey, this is your night. Let's go.
Exactly. And I think a lot of the, and that's another reason why the John Cena Fiend match will be out of the arena. It's going to be, you know, in that Firefly house there, so you can, you know, do whatever you want, have your post-production there. But this right here, a lot of trash talk that filled the match being called by these guys, and able to do their thing there the way they were able to, you know, work without a crowd. And Jim Ross has said too many a time, to your point of Michael Cole doing a good job calling the match there, Jim Ross has said numerous times that being on the commentary table, you just feed off the crowd so much, and that's a difficult thing to do what these guys did tonight. So credit to the commentators as well, especially the wrestlers without a crowd, and just go with it. So I really was invested in the show and took it all in and enjoyed it as much as I could.
Yeah, JBL still does nothing for me, but that's me.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And the wrench.
And the towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
A match that was, quote, does nothing for me, was that was a Mike Riley quote from our last podcast. Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens. Quote, this match does nothing for me. Am I misquoting you? Is this fake news?
A little bit.
Would you like to clarify before we talk about the match, which I thought was a really good piece of business?
Yeah, this was my second best match of the night. But I will say that Seth Rollins does nothing for me. Now, I did say last week in the podcast I was not heavily invested in the match. But Seth Rollins, I did make it very clear, he does nothing for me. But Kevin Owens, though, he made it very clear in this match that he wanted his WrestleMania moment. He wanted it. He kept saying it over and over again. This play's built because of you, Seth Rollins. This is my WrestleMania moment, throwing him into the barricade there. And then Rollins, with continuous trash-talking, I am a god. What are you going to tell you? What are your kids going to think of you tonight, Kevin? Continuous trash talking. It was great. It was probably better trash talking in this match than we had in the triple threat one for the tag team titles. And Kevin Owens made it clear that he got the FU from management last year, not being in the WrestleMania card and being misplaced over time, coming back to reestablish his character as a face, to have the stunner as his new move, and just be the guy who he wants to be. He took that by the balls. He is the man, Kevin Owens. He had his WrestleMania moment jumping off of that sign, and this puts Kevin Owens back in the main event picture, James.
So I never thought that Kevin Owens realistically was out of the main event picture as far as him being a performer. Unfortunately, they booked him away from that. And
there you go.
They had him versus Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon in a ladder match on the first SmackDown on Fox. And then they took him off TV and they've kind of miscast him. This was a feud. Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins was a feud that was personal, and the match would have been helped a little bit by the crowd, but I think Kevin Owens jumping off the R on the WrestleMania sign, I think it helped bring everybody more so together for it. But Kevin Owens' greatest asset is I still think he's the best all-around male performer that WWE has. He can talk, and you saw that in this match a lot where he just kept running his mouth. And he's got the athleticism to do all these different things. And they have given him the Stone Cold Stunner. So that's a finish everybody can identify to, that he can do to everybody, because the pop-up powerbomb was a great, unique finish. But you can't do that to Braun Strowman. You can't do that to certain people. And so the stunner, he can do to everybody. But the thing that I loved was I loved the pace of this match. And they did the disqualification false finish, which I hated initially.
Oh, that was awful.
And then they kicked it back into drive with Seth Rollins be like, oh, I don't want to come back. Oh, you've pushed my button, so now I'll come back. And then Kevin Owens just took it into another gear. And the jump off the WrestleMania sign, Rollins begging off when he gets into the ring. Kevin Owens looked like he hurt his leg too. He was favoring that leg pretty good. But Rollins begging off and then eats a stunner.
Yep.
Stunner for the win for Kevin Owens. Hopefully this leapfrogs him somewhere. But where does it leapfrog him? Because if you've got Brock Lesnar as the WWE champion, so that program could work. I think it would work. But if Drew McIntyre wins, does Kevin Owens go villain, even though he hasn't really changed his character other than the crowd has cheered for him? So we'll see on night two what happens with Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre.
Right, right. And just to go back to, you know, what I was saying there with Kevin Owens, the main event status and so forth, I'm not disagreeing with you that, you know, I don't think he was ever out of the main event picture. But yes, I agree with what you're saying with the booking. It's similar to like a Dolph Ziggler, you know, just bad booking over the years. Never really, you know, got that good championship run he should have had. I know he was world champion for a little bit, but just stuff like that. Just the only comparison.
Oh, the Universal Championship run, Mike. I think that was some of the best TV. Him and Jericho, the Festival of Friendship was great. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins program was great.
I know, but I'm saying Kevin Owens is not booked for the main event picture right now, and that will put him back in the booking of it, because he's not thought of a main event guy. He's not thought to close out a main event of WrestleMania right now, but but he's not being booked that way, and he should be.
And he should have been.
That's going to help him.
He should have been the main event in Orlando, and
he wasn't.
Him and Jericho, and he wasn't. And Vince McMahon told him it was a terrible match,
and
I strongly disagree. He wasn't on the card last year. Kevin Owens was not on the card.
And that's a slap in the face to him. So this will put him back in prime position to be up where the top of the that portion of the card is, where he should be. So, and again, another reason why Seth Rollins does nothing for me, because of that initial disqualification. What a cowardly way to lose a match right there, you wimp. Good job answering the bell when Kevin Owens told you to go back in, and good win for KO. He's on his way back to the top, baby.
Mike, what Seth Rollins did is called heat, and you marked out for it. So good job for being a fan and marking out for it.
Thank you, James. God bless you.
Next on, you're a fine American.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random 2x found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
So next on my list of WrestleMania things that I want to highlight is Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defeated the Kabuki Warriors to win the Women's Tag Team Championship. This was an excellent opener. I thought these are four of the best women wrestlers in the world, and I thought that they delivered to open up WrestleMania. I'm a huge fan of Bliss and more so Nikki Cross, and I like them as a team. I was really happy to see them win here and regain the tag team championships, the women tag team championships. My kind of favorite moment in the match was Nikki Cross doing the Hulk Hogan ripaway shirt spot.
Oh, yeah.
And just because you could see her energy. But I thought Nikki Cross carried this match from her selling. And then Alexa Bliss came in and did the hot tag, and they won the tag team titles. And I was very happy to see that.
Yeah, that was a great women's tag match, and I'm happy for Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss right there, and they work really well together as a unit. I think for the future, though, of Asuka, I think that she'll be going back to a singles career. I wouldn't be shocked if she goes to the NXT brand, too. So I think that was an indication tonight where the Kabuki Warriors might be, you know, saying sayonara to one another. And, you know, but Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross as your tag team champions, that, you know, the tag team titles, not, yeah, I know the Kabuki Warriors, they had the run there with them for a little bit. But again, I think these two, Bliss and Nikki Cross, can really kind of keep that in a good position for the card there, or for the roster, rather, to keep the prominence alive for the women's tag team division. Good choice by them to win.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Their chemistry is good. I'm a huge fan of Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss, try it in English. I was late to her bandwagon, but I understand more so now, like, why people hold her in such high regard. So I'm happy that they won. I'm happy that Nikki Cross gets another shot with a championship.
And Alexa Bliss was your WrestleMania host last year.
She was, and she did the spot with Hulk Hogan and blah, 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 and now she's a champion again. Because I think the concern with Alexa Bliss is she's done all this stuff in singles competition, and now it's just a matter of how do we keep her healthy. And putting her in a tag team with Nikki Cross, who's a fabulous worker, and Bliss has the personality, that's why they make a great tag team, in my opinion.
Yeah, and yeah, she had the concussion issues, so good for her being back on her feet again.
Absolutely. Another thing that I liked, because we're being positive on WrestleMania, because I thought this was a good thing to be positive about, was Daniel Bryan had his working shoes on tonight, and one thing that's lost on the world is how good Sami Zayn is as an in-ring performer, and Sami Zayn retains the Intercontinental Championship against Daniel Bryan, and that Haluga kick that came out of nowhere was brilliant. The cross faces by Daniel Bryan during this match reminded me of Taz and ECW. They were so snug. Like, this was Daniel Bryan's dream, his wet dream of a mat wrestling cross face. You do all these like snug moments in the match. And Sami Zayn is the correct winner in this match. He should have retained the Intercontinental Championship, because we forget what a great in-ring worker Sami Zayn is. He had Shinsuke Nakamura's best match, which was on NXT. He had the great feud with Kevin Owens. And really, since then, Sami Zayn's in-ring matches have been de-emphasized, I think. So it was nice to see him get a featured where he just sold his ass off, because I think Vince McMahon sees Sami Zayn as a manager in tights, and he just kind of got the Intercontinental Championship as a fluke, but Sami Zayn can work. One of the best wrestlers around. So, Mike, what'd you think of Sami Zayn versus Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, he's a great in-ring performer, Sami Zayn. And, you know, Daniel Bryan has made it clear that he is pretty much on the way out. So that might have been one of his swan songs there to, you know, help put over Zayn a little more. I thought Bryan was going to win and get a good run at the IC title, but that wasn't the case. I thought there was a lot of BS, though, at the beginning of this match, just too much stuff outside the ring and, you know, Zayn not going in finally. A lot of talking, a lot of trash talking between both parties on this one. But finally, they did go into the squared circle, put on a pretty good show. And that was the first match where we had a quote unquote heel win, I guess, because up until that point, it was all faces that had won on the card. So it looked like a heavy face, you know, victory for night one of the 8 matches. And then Sami Zayn did retain. But again, you know, great performance by him, proving that he can carry the title there. And you know what? We'll see. He may have a longer run at the Intercontinental title than I originally thought. But Daniel Bryan, though, I had him as my wrestler of the decade back in December, and he just is awesome. Like, he's that damn good. So I think for what you're seeing in Daniel Bryan here on out, it might be only a handful of matches left. Enjoy every one you get out of him, because he doesn't have much left in the tank. So enjoy, embrace every Daniel Bryan match that he performs in and he's a part of.
So I think Bryan has a lot left in the tank for his in-ring, especially since he's adapted a more grappling style. But I think maybe he's just winding it down because he's got a second kid on the way and that's his choice.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. I think he's awesome. I got so much respect for him. But you know, again, this was a good match too. And you know, I think it was a good placing of everything the way they had it. Like I said, it was the first one with the heel winning, and it just kind of, we didn't really have that big moment up until after that match with the ladder match and so forth. It was kind of like a good appetizer for it to set the tone. I thought they were going to open the event with this match, because we did see Daniel Bryan open up the Elimination Chamber against Drew Gulak last month, but it's all good. But I was happy with the whole show in general.
Gronk was, so here's what I didn't like on WrestleMania Night 1. Rob Gronkowski, he was terrible. Opens the show, he does these chops on Mojo Rawley. They do this 24/7 thing where Gronk goes for the cover and then he pulls off and then Mojo gets it. I mean, I think Gronk is going to win the 24/7 title tomorrow night on WrestleMania Night 2, but I thought Gronk's hosting was awful.
Like, really?
Yeah, I thought it was terrible. It was too hokey, and yeah. I just wasn't feeling it.
Well, I love the line he had. I know how to start a party on a Saturday and end it 30 hours later. That was hysterical. His outfit, too, is kind of like of the Tiger King from Netflix, the pop culture theme right now. I don't want to spoil it for anyone else, but go check it out there on Netflix. I think he was in the perfect place for this. Gronk, it was his element. And also, I don't think he would have been over with the crowd. I think he would have been booed heavily with the crowd. So the fact you didn't have that audience reaction there, this was a good spot for Gronk to get the reps in on the microphone, you know, kind of come in with the goofy thing. You don't know if you're getting booed at home. You don't know if you're getting cheered. It doesn't matter because there's no crowd reaction. So great spot by him. And you know what? We don't know how many takes he did on that opening there, but I was very pleased with Rob Gronkowski. He did a fine job, and we'll see how it all goes at night two. But what are you going to do as a host? Like, just announce what's the next match? I mean, it's a hokey pokey position there. That's all it is, and it's a name. And Gronk wasn't going to host this if it were going to be in Tampa. It just wasn't going to be the case. So good spot for him to get his feet wet. I had no issue with it.
Gronk will have one match. It'll be in Boston where he gets cheered, because that's the only place he will get cheered. In the same way that when Lawrence Taylor did his WrestleMania 11 match, the one place he was going to get cheered was a New York territory, which WWE deemed was Hartford, Connecticut. That dump.
Yep.
one thing,
I can't believe that arena's still around.
You know what, though? It going to Money in the Bank last year,
yeah,
it had a good vibe to it.
It did, yeah.
Even if it was cheering Bayley, which was the wrong decision by that crowd. But I get it. You get caught up in the moment and, you know, and then Bayley shouts, "Get out of my way." So I thought the other thing that I thought was a real miss was Shayna Baszler versus Becky Lynch.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Now, I agree that the right decision is to keep the championship on Becky Lynch, the women's championship, which Becky Lynch beat Shayna Baszler in what I would call the Steve Austin, Bret Hart finish to a match, where Shayna Baszler's got her sleeper, Becky kind of rolls through and rolled her into a pinning combination for the win. I get the vibe that Vince McMahon doesn't understand Shayna Baszler, and that's why this match was quick and kind of in the middle of the show. And it just wasn't – these two missed for some reason. And the developing opinion that I have is Becky is a great promo. She's a fireball of a promo. But she's very hit or miss in the ring.
Yeah.
And I say that, like, I thought this match was a miss. I thought her match with Asuka at the Rumble was a hit. I thought the tag match at TLC with Charlotte and Becky against Asuka and Kairi Sane was a miss. I thought the Becky, Bayley, Shayna Baszler match at Survivor Series was a hit. But so that's kind of the inconsistency with Becky Lynch as far as the in-ring performer goes. Mike, what'd you think of this?
No, that's an interesting take with the previous matchups for her, hit or miss. You know, I think the other thing is that, you know, from a psychological standpoint too, you know, Shayna Baszler, a cage fighter here, and, you know, she's used to winning by absolutely, you know, brutality, I guess. And Becky Lynch just absolutely said, well, you're not going to come into my yard and, you know, win. That's just not going to happen. I don't think that this – I think you're going to have a rematch down the line between these two. I think they're going to build this up a little more. But, again, if this were – I think the tables would have been turned if it were in Tampa. If it were in Tampa in front of a crowd, Shayna – I would have put my money on her. Now, for Becky to hold on to the title still here we are a year later as the women's champion – you know, maybe they're trying to build her up to that caliber with Charlotte or, you know, something like that. Ronda Rousey undefeated thing along those lines, build it up. But I think the audible was called when they had to move it to Orlando to keep the title and have Becky retain.
So I don't think so. I think Shayna Baszler is not a favorite of Vince McMahon. And this is the other thing about Shayna Baszler is she's had some great NXT matches.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about NXT is you look at those takeovers and how many of those takeover matches are bad?
Not many.
So I think Toronto had a bad match with Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano. But that's really the only one that stands out to me as being bad. Shayna had a good series with Kairi Sane. She had a good match with Bianca Belair. Her matches with Rhea Ripley were good. NXT thing? Or have we overrated Shayna as a worker in NXT because it's NXT and nobody has bad matches on a big stage in NXT?
Yeah.
I'm merely asking questions because I'm not sure of the answer. Like, I'm the one who, when Shayna Baszler wins a four-way match at NXT Brooklyn, ironically, a year ago today, or a year ago tomorrow, or sometime this weekend in New York, I'm the one who's cheering that Shayna Baszler is winning because I'm a big fan of Shayna Baszler, the ultimate combat fighter.
Right.
And, you know, quote-unquote mini Ronda Rousey, as Chris Cyborg would tell you. So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think I need to see more of Shayna Baszler in the WWE Raw SmackDown confines before I understand if she's actually a good premier worker.
Well, they even, you know, foreshadowed too when Becky won. Michael Cole did say that, you know, this is historic for Becky Lynch, and it was something along the lines with Shayna Baszler that, you know, where is this going to take her psychologically? Like, this might be a real big defeat to her to ever get back up to that spot. So you got to wonder if he was being fed that line too by Mr. Vince McMahon, as you're indicating, that he not being a fan of Shayna Baszler to tie into that theory. So it just, you know, you could put her back on the NXT roster on Wednesday nights if this doesn't pan out. I think that's an easy fix. But also at the same time, I mean, you know, she was thrown right into the Royal Rumble, the number 30th entrant there. She didn't win. She had a good, you know, at the Survivor Series. I mean, that was more to develop Rhea Ripley, but NXT took over there. And then here we are at WrestleMania, the build without a live crowd for a couple of weeks after going into it. It's a tough spot, too. Your first year going into a WrestleMania for the women's title. So I'll cut her a little slack, but I think that she has to do better and be better expeditiously. Otherwise, it's going to be a bad turn here for her.
If you're doing Shayna Baszler versus Charlotte Flair for the NXT title, is that something that draws on a Wednesday night? And
sure.
I'm not entirely sure that it does. Like,
really?
I'm into it.
Yeah.
But Charlotte is miscast in NXT, and Shayna going back to NXT isn't the best thing in the world. And keep in mind, too, that I think there's going to be a draft coming up soon. So maybe you move Shayna Baszler to SmackDown and you create a situation where she's going after Bayley, and then you build to, maybe if it has more build of Shayna versus Charlotte on SmackDown, I'm more into it. But yeah, I think that they need to do a better story. They need to do better storytelling to get to that point. And maybe that's part of the reason why Becky retained, is because Shayna Baszler has had Survivor Series she wins. She has a good outing in the Rumble. She has a bad match with Kairi Sane on Raw. And then she has a great showing at Elimination Chamber. Maybe they feel like they need to build her up, or maybe it's just Vince is like just not feeling it.
Yeah, and then also with Becky Lynch too, I mean, here she was last year at WrestleMania. She wins the triple threat there over Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair. You know, then she goes into the Money in the Bank and defends, well, at least one of the titles. But then she starts at rival with Lacey Evans, if you remember that, you know, just coming right onto the scene into the WWE. And maybe, I don't know, Becky may not, she's not used to working with people so much, and it just doesn't really go hand in hand. Maybe that's another factor there as well. Like, you know, she's done work with Bayley in the past, done work with Charlotte. We know that. Sasha Banks, she can work with them. That Sasha Banks Hell in a Cell match was great back in October. So it's just stuff like that. Maybe she needs to be comfortable with who she's working with and is not with Shayna Baszler.
Mike, any closing thoughts here on WrestleMania Night 1?
I mean, you know what? If we're going to have the 16 matches here on out for WrestleMania, you and I have discussed this before, to maybe have WrestleMania go two nights. I'd be fine with that, because this was great. This ended, what, at 10:25 tonight, Eastern time? That was great.
Oh, the end time was great on this.
Dynamite. It's excellent. So I have no issue with that if that's going to be the case. I thought the show really flowed along fast. I mean, we're more than halfway through about 8:40, which was phenomenal. I was shocked. I was like, holy cow. But the pace was good. Production, for what they had to work with, they did a very good job. And it's tough without the fans. There's no hiding behind that. It's very difficult without fan reaction. I mean, there were points in the show where I felt like nails on the chalkboard. Oh boy, this is tough to watch. No crowd reaction, but they made the most of it. They really did. Could they have pumped in crowd noise? Yeah, I guess so. But what's the point? Just be it as it is. And I thought this was for what they had to work with, I'm going to give it 3 stars out of 5. Nice job for everyone, WrestleMania 36, Night 1.
I think because of the circumstances in the world, we had lowered our expectations for this show. I think they did a great job. There are a few bad edits in the show from a production angle, but I think the show built throughout, and I think they did a good job in making a movie. Mike, they made a movie, and they made a good movie for WrestleMania Night 1. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and in Google Podcasts. Mike and I plan to be with you recording a Night 2 episode, and we will talk to you then after WrestleMania 36 Night 2.
The Dave McGilvery Finished Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random 2x found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.